Good morning. I greet you this morning in the word of the name of Jesus. I also bring you greetings from the congregation of Keysville. It's a privilege to be gathered out this morning and to think about what God does in our lives. I was impressed this morning thus far with the devotions we had on trust. And I challenge you each, do we each fully trust God? The burden of the message this morning I received, I'm challenged. I'm not sure. I don't know your congregation that well. And I don't know why this was laid on me, but I'm here to share what I've been inspired to share. Today we're alive. You're alive today. You're here. And that's a good thing. And we live and we function, and everything we do, everything you are doing, is because of something that happened in your life. You're here because of a purpose. You're here because of a reason. You dream, you plan, you consider. And you act. It may be because of a reflection of what happened. It may be because of something you believe is going to happen. But the direction you are on, the direction you are doing, the path you are walking, is because of what is happening in your life and what you believe as the absolute truth. Each year, we see things happen. We plant a garden in the spring because we expect a harvest in the fall. It's springtime. And we see a change in the seasons. If I stood here this morning and told you not to plant your gardens till May because there's going to be a snowstorm in April, you would laugh at me and say, "What reasons have you to say that?" And that's exactly true. But do you know there was a foot of snow? In 1942, there was a foot of snow in D.C. at the end of March. That's historical fact. And we sit around and say, but it hasn't done that since. And it probably won't do it again. And I don't know if it's going to happen this year or not. I don't know. I can't answer that question. This year's cold we had, in my personal memory, was unprecedented pretty much. I don't really remember of a year that cold, that long, that harsh. But it was. It happened. It's where it is. And as you can see in this, it's pretty easy that we get accustomed in life. We get accustomed to what we're used to. We get accustomed to normalcy of life. And we slip into the ease of life where we just continue to press on. And we just continue to ride with life because nothing really has changed in the past. And and the little blips that happened, there's been hardship in the past. But little blips that happen, we kind of pass ease on and say, well, it's going to be okay. And somehow our memory only hangs on to the good, and we don't think about what happens. In the future, we know there'll be some political changes. The pendulum swings back and forth. But we look at our former generations and say, well, they made it through, and we will too. We know they had troubles, they had deaths, they had hardships, they had unknowns. But we, so many times, as younger people, as middle-aged people, slip in the rut that life is getting better. You know, we borrow money, we make plans for the future, we're going to pay it back, it's going to be okay. Technology is advancing, it's a good thing. Life is getting better. And somehow, we don't need to endure as much today as what we had to before. But this morning, I'm here. And the burden on my heart this morning is not that there's going to be snow in April. But the Lord and the judge of all the earth is going to return. We live in troubled times. The political and economical foundations that we have been accustomed to for more than a generation is being shaken. We don't know how much longer this world's going to hold together. We don't know. But today is the day of opportunity. God will always make a way for his children. God will always make a way for his people. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24. And so many times we as people look back and we wonder when, we wonder how, we wonder what's going to happen. And somehow we want to put this in a box where we actually have control of this. But brothers and sisters and friends this morning, we don't know. We don't have control of this. There's one man. There's one God that does. And it is him, the one that we serve and we bow to and we give our lives to. We begin reading Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and the earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation as spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And let them that be in Judea, then let them that be in Judea flee unto the mountains, and let him that is in the housetop not come down to take anything that is of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that are give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, as was not since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in a secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and shall come to all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, and from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye shall know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is the servant, in whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, And he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I titled my message this morning, As It Were in the Days of Noah. And I believe we are getting in those times. We are in the days of Noah. Jesus, when he told his disciples, the disciples says, when's these things going to happen? And Jesus said, remember, there's a time way back I can point you to. As it was in the days of Noah. And it's a historical fact. And the people Jesus was talking to, just like today, we know the story of Noah. At least we think we do. But are we ready to look at what Jesus says? And are we ready for his return? As it was in the days of Noah. So I want to look at the story of Noah this morning and think about what it says, what God's told Noah and how Noah responded in his day to where we are today. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 6. We have the story. We can go here. We can read. We can understand. Because someday it's going to be like Jesus says. And he will return. Genesis chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse 1. And we're going to read to verse 12. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, and they were fair. And they took unto them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before the God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And Jesus tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to come to a time when man and evil will abound. Number one, evil will be abounding, and there will not be many righteous left. Now, we're in a congregation this morning of 112 people, and it's a wonderful thing. It really is. But we're in the minority. Evil in this world is abounding. As it was in the days of Noah, the immorality between the sons of God and the daughters of men was beyond the intentions and the plan of God. Evil was continually just there. And it seems I see a picture of absolute debauchery and a wasteland of people just couldn't get to the end of themselves fast enough. These men lived long lives. And there's a reason God shortened man's life, because you can only get so evil before it's over. And then someone else got to start again. But these men lived long lives, and it was awful in those days. It says in verse 5 and verse 12, even the imagination of his heart was evil continually. Not only did he do evil, but all the imaginations were evil. And it was a wicked, foul land. In verse 7, God intended to destroy the earth and to cleanse it. He said, I'm going to start over. I'm going to destroy this. I'm going to put limitations here. And he was going to limit the devil that was there to destroy the plan that God had for the earth. In Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to be referring to these two psalms. If you want to have your finger in 24, you can go back to then. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 and 7, Jesus says, that you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. In verse 7, the nation shall rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. This is what Jesus says is going to happen, because as it was in the days of Noah. The person in verses 9 and 10 in 24, it says about they shall deliver the persecution of Christians. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you and be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray each other. In verse 11, it says, the false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Verse 12, and because of this abundance of evil around, even the love of the faithful, the love of many is going to wax cold. This is what Jesus says is going to happen. So where are we today? We look at our land today. Look at the world we live in today. We are in perilous times. It's not a time of peace. This world is not a friend of grace. The active wars and the rumors of wars and conflicts from research I did, as of early 2026, the global landscape of armed conflicts remained at a historic high. According to the Institute for Economics and Peace, there are 56 ongoing state-based armed conflicts, the highest number since World War II. These conflicts involve 92 countries, many of which are engaged in international coalitions supporting various sides in these wars. You know, look at recent even happenings of yesterday, the buildup of the armed conflict in the Middle East. We don't know the future. We don't know the future, but Jesus says, beware, be ready. Because as it was in the days of Noah, evil was going to abound. Even the atomic doomsday clock is set at 85 seconds to midnight. And that is where evil men put together, they say this is how close we are to man being able to almost annihilate themselves. And this is not Christian men saying it's this close. This is the world saying it's this close, 85 seconds to midnight. The closest it has been historically. I personally feel that God's in control and won't allow major destruction in his perfect timing. But we take this to heart, brothers and sisters. We can't look around and say, we have plenty of time. It's nothing, nothing's changing. It's a good thing. This world's in shaky grounds. And Jesus is about to come back. The religious persecution in America, we may not see it quite in our face like some countries. But our freedoms and peace, we experience is a total foreign concept to most of the world around. According to one report I read, 1 in 7 Christians worldwide are under intense persecutions. 1 in 5 Christians in Africa is under intense persecution, and 2 in 5 in Asia is under direct persecution. We live in unprecedented times. The world is against us. It is controlled. The world is controlled by a power that is seeking to destroy and rid themselves of Christianity. But Jesus says, this is what to expect. Because as it was in the days of Noah, the love of many is waxing cold. You see that Jesus is saying about that. The love of many is waxing cold. Now think about how many times in life the people who were once stabilized and willing to live right lives and focus on the right doctrine or allowing the pressures of the world to slowly change their minds. Maybe it's faster than I know. I don't know. And they're allowing the evil influences of the abounding evil to change their lives, and suddenly the world gets so much worse that we begin to say, really, what we stood on, is it really that true? Because it's not as bad as. It's not as bad as. And we fill in the blank with something we feel like is way worse. And we begin to get shaky on our doctrine. We get shaky on our truths, absolutes of Scripture that it has, that we need to identify with. The churches across America are welcoming the immorality and embracing it and saying, if you don't accept it, something's wrong with you. But because we need to adapt. But the Bible that we read is still true today. The biblical absolutes are being questioned. Divorce and remarriage, and I am astounded at the occurrences of husbands leaving their families or couples separating inside of churches we associate with. Churches are not sanctioning it. Praise the Lord. But if it's happening in the congregations, if it's happening in our hearts, if we begin to entertain this as an option, because it's been how many generations that it's been accepted in the world, suddenly we look at it as it's an option. Are we married for life? Are we committed to life? Do we see God's hand in marriage? Do we see God pulling people together? Is it, well, I don't know. You know, because of the iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. Even in our own circles, the desensitizing effect of undress in the world allows us to tolerate more immodesty in the church. And I wonder sometimes how far away can we go before we recognize this is an absolute God stands on? Or is it something that's up for grabs? With the abundance of information we have today and options today, it seems, and seeming tolerance for it, we don't see the urgency of the end times. There's so much things that, well, we can take care of this ourselves. But brothers and sisters, the end times are urgent. It is short-lived till the Lord returns, and we don't know how much longer we have. We are not where the world was in the days of Noah. I personally believe because the work of Christ and Satan is somewhat restricted because of Christ's work on the cross and the power of the Spirit in the world today. But things are getting quite dark rapidly. In Matthew chapter 24, it says, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and he putteth on leaves, know ye that the summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things are be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, when you see something, you know something. We read the word, we understand what the word says. And it's important that we look around and we can understand what's happening in the world around us today. When we see something, we know something. And we can identify. And it should put hope in the heart of the believer and fear in the heart of the unbeliever with what the future is going to hold. We are in the last dispensation before the return of Christ. Jesus says that this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. This is the last option. There's not another. There's not some new dispensation. There's not some new opportunity. This generation, this age of grace, this age of the work of Calvary is the last option we have to be part of the kingdom of God. The word generation that is there, it says this generation shall not pass. The word generation is the same word that is translated as ages in Ephesians 5 and in Ephesians 3, verse 5 and verse 21. It says that which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, but now it is revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So that word, that's why I feel like when he says this generation shall not pass, I see it as this age, this time of the church will not pass until these things be fulfilled. When you know something, when we see something, we know something. Point number two, looking back at the life of Noah, God provides. God does provide a limited time to enter a permanently safe place. A limited time for a permanently safe place. In Luke, God will provide a place for his people, but not everyone will accept. Luke 21, verse 28, which is a parallel account to the story, to the writings in Matthew. It says, "When these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." It's hope. We can see what's happening, and we know that we have to continue to fight. But our redemption's drawing nigh. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 39. We see that nothing is going to change until it does. But the day and the hour knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For as it were, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Things were same. Every day Noah went out and did his thing, and his neighbors went out and did their thing. Every day. Nothing was changing, and Noah was telling them what was happening. People will scorn and spurn the opportunity that is currently available. Today is the day of opportunity. Today is the day of opportunity because Jesus has not returned yet. People will scorn and spurn, but there will, at the end of time, there will be a final separation. There will be a final opportunity. I don't know where that is in your life. I don't know where it is in my life. But someday, there will be a final separation for eternity. God does give time. God does give warnings. He does give time. In Genesis chapter 6, continue reading here in verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this shall be the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and a cubit thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark, and shall keep them alive with thee. And they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of creeping things of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God hath commanded him. As recorded, we see that all mankind was doomed for destruction, except Noah and his family. And we see here that Noah did, the last verse we read there, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. God come to Noah and he told Noah, this is what's going to happen. The end of all flesh is before me. But he said, make you an ark of gopher wood. And he told him the size it's going to be. He told him how big to make it. And he said, you're going to have to make this thing. And all the animals are going to be inside this ark. And this is what you need to do. But what about everybody else? They had options. They went with their day. They weren't out slaving, making any boat. They were continuing their day. Noah worked on this ark. He wasn't working on it in his closet. It was in the public. This is a big ark. This is a big boat. I expect he needed help on the boat. I personally feel that probably people around him helped him some. Why not? He's a righteous man. He treated me fair. He pays me all right. We're good. It's a nice place, a nice man to be around. Nothing's wrong with him, you know. He's kind of crazy, but I'll help him out. And this lasted for years. I don't know how long. God said yet man's life should be 120 years. I'm not sure when he told Noah to get started. But Noah was building this ark every day. Because Noah believed God. He saw something that the other people did not see, and he continued to work on this thing. Not only did Noah do it, but his sons helped him. In Genesis 7, verses 1 to 10. Let's continue reading there. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that were not clean by twos, the male and his female. Of fowls also, of the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wives, and his sons' wives with them into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of the clean beasts, and of the beasts that were not clean, of the fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. And there went in two and two unto Noah in the ark, and the male and the female, as God commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. After 7 days. We see that Noah built his ark. And you know, as long as you're building something, you can build something. And we know from Hebrews, or we know from New Testament, the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. And I believe he was teaching the people as he was building that there's going to be a rainstorm coming. And the people laugh and say, yeah, we heard this last year. But, you know, we're building this building. It's not a bad of a deal. We can do this. And they continue to work on this thing, and they continue to work, and they continue to build the ark. But when the ark was built, and they had the frame established, God told Noah, now I want you to go inside. As I considered this, I thought about how many times in my own life I struggle with that. You know, I can work on something. I can build a project. I can do it. You know, yeah, we can do this. It's all right. But the faith Noah took to step inside the boat and says, this is actually what's going to happen. I believe it so much that I'm not only just building this thing. I really couldn't sell it. I'm not only building this thing, but I'm actually going to go inside this boat with all these stinking animals. I have food in there for me, and I'm going to go in this thing. And Noah, I mean, it said he had one window, and I don't think he had a generator. It was probably dark. But maybe the light of God was in there. I can't answer that question. But I'm going to go inside this place, and everyone else around is going to see me do this. And they're going to laugh at me. But Noah believes God. And we see that Noah went in. We know about Noah. The Bible tells a lot about Noah. But there's some people I want to think about. Noah had a wife. And each of his sons had a wife. That means there's four other families involved. And then wives. Women have ties to their families. And only this family, the family of Noah and his sons and their wives was in the ark. They all went in. That's not many in a world. And then he was in there for 7 days before judgment fell. Noah was ready. Noah was in the ark. Noah had prepared. And then he went in and he accepted what God had for him next. He was ready. There was people around him. They didn't join him in the ark. They didn't. They saw him go in, and they didn't join him there. They said, well, I don't know. It's not raining. It's probably not going to rain tomorrow either. There's really no clouds. And they were right. It didn't rain tomorrow. It didn't rain the next day either. And there's this boat in the land. The ark sitting is full of animals, and Noah and his family inside. And the people are still right. It didn't rain yet. And it was 1 day, and 2 days, and 3 days, and 4 days, and 5 days, and nothing changed. 6 days, and then the seventh day. But Noah did not go into the ark on the seventh day when the rain started to fall. Noah was in the ark before, 7 days, whole days, before the vengeance of God come upon the earth. And so many times we're like this today. I know this is my own life. So many times, I don't know the future, but today's not convenient. The ark of safety that God provides today is accepting the salvation plan and being part of a New Testament church. It's a twofold thing. God accepts us by faith, but he judges us by our works. And that's where we are today. And how far are we? This is consistent with the teaching of Jesus and the events of the Acts of the Apostles. People who were Christians met together and joined and was part of a local physical or a local church, a body of believers. Jesus is building his church, the group of called out people, and the commitment of individual people that says you're the Christ, but then willing to work together with those of the group. We look around today, and the world seems to be unrestful, but we can say it was that way in the past also. And then we have the thing of we're busy people. And we say, well, I there's something I got to do yet. I don't know. I just can't change. Do I really need to commit myself to God? Do I really need to commit myself to a church now? I mean, I got this thing in my life I don't want to do anything with. I just, what am I going to do? And time continues to move on. One day follows another day. And what was inconvenient last week, it will probably still be inconvenient next week. Because it's the same day. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. And we look around us and we see small incremental changes. But there has not been a large flash that suddenly jerks everybody up yet. We begin to reason in our minds and we hear what comes from around us. That I can be a Christian in my own right and I really don't need to commit myself to anyone because it's just me and God. This is stuff that creeps to us, and we begin to say, Do I really need to heed to my brothers? Yeah, that's the same as the people that worked on the boat, and we worked on the boat. Yeah, this is probably a good thing to do. But to go inside there and be part of the group that's actually safe, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of animals. Them elephants, big, scary things. I mean, what am I gonna do about it? And you begin to reason about reasons that I don't want to be fully committed in. I just want to be on the outside. I just want to be associated with good people. I just want to be friends of people, not plugged in and part of the redeemed of the Lord. We begin to feel safe with the power of association. People who are righteous will have friends because they're kind people. And it's good to have friends around. And it's good to be friends with people. But you know, as we read there in Matthew 24, it says two people to be at the mill and one's to be taken, the other's left. Two's to be grinding flour and one's to be taken, the other's left. Two's to be in the field. One's taken, the other's left. It wasn't a problem of association. It doesn't matter who we associate with. It's what you personally. It's where you're committed to. In Genesis chapter 7. Or last point here. There will be eternal separation. Eternal separation. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 40 to 44, we have that two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. But this know, that if the goodman of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered his house to be broken up, and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's going to be an eternal separation. Back to Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, And the waters increased and bare up the ark and lifted above the earth. And the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth and all the high hills and that were under the whole heavens were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of creeping and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed that was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowls of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. After 7 days of scorn, after 7 days of reasoning that this ark's there, the people's inside, something's wrong with them, judgment came. The water was upon the earth, but the door was shut. There may have been those who beat upon the ark door as the waters rose around them. And it's a devastating picture to think about. These people, desperate where they were, they can't help themselves. The waters, it's raining, the water's coming up. They have their children with them. But the fathers and the mothers, the ones that were responsible for the young ones, did not provide for the young ones the way God asked them to, the way God needed them to do. Children are curious people. They ask why. They say why. They probably asked about the man down the road. We know that poem. And here they were. They were dying with their families because they refused to commit. They refused to believe. They refused to be in the ark of safety. All life on the outside of the ark was destroyed. It wasn't just a lot of them was destroyed. It wasn't just most of them was destroyed. It was all life on the outside was destroyed. You know, when Jesus comes back, when the Lord returns for his church, when the Lord returns for his saved, it's not going to be an almost or most. It's going to be a yes or a no. It's a go with the Lord or remain. And the separation is final. When the door is shut, there's no turning back. There's not a second chance. And we don't know where we are. We don't know where we are. We don't know how much more time we have. All I know is we have today. We have the opportunity now. In verses, back to Matthew chapter 24, 45 to 51. Then who is faithful and a wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household, to him give meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunk. And the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware of. And he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is imperative that we as people are always ready. So many times we get caught up and there's a new faith, a new belief, a new Christian. It's wonderful. But starting down the road is the first step. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But Jesus says that he that endures to the end, him that is faithful when he returns, him that is working when he returns. Because it talks about the servant here. It says, but the evil servant. He was a servant of God. He was a servant of something. But he was an evil servant. He got weary and said he started fighting and drinking and eating around with other people. He said the Lord delayed his coming. I give up. It's just too much. He might have had the first love. He might have got started right. but it's those who endure to the end, all the way to the end, to build the ark entirely and then to go inside and be part of the ark, part of the kingdom of God. Maybe we are tempted to be like the servant, he said, where we begin to smite our fellow servants. And we begin to pick on others that are part of the ark. Begin to look around and say, it's something's wrong here. Because we won't let God work in our lives like we need to. We will be judged by our actions and not our intentions. Look at Matthew, flip it over a page to Matthew chapter 25. We see, and I'm not going to take time to read this. I see my time has passed. But we see in chapter 31, we see where he separates the sheep from the goats. There's going to be a final separation. I think I'm going to take time to read this last portion. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. The Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. And then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or in sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not unto the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Both people had intentions. Both people had good intentions. Even the evil servants were looking for opportunities to serve Jesus on their own terms. But the righteous served Jesus where Jesus wanted them to serve. So where are we at this morning? Where are you this morning? Where am I? How dedicated am I in my life to build and to be where God wants me? Are we weighing the options or counting the cost? As of now, today is the day of opportunity. I can assure you, today you can choose. Today you can be right. But the signs of the time that we see today, just as we see the branches on the fig tree, the window is getting shorter. The window is getting shorter. We don't know. We don't know. To those who are watching and ready, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. It's not much longer. Continue to live faithfully, and the reward will be worth it all. We will have everlasting life if we are ready when Jesus returns. Let's kneel for prayer.